This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is part two of our Open for Business special on how to build an omni-channel fashion giant with Casey Liang from Pomelo. Pomelo, of course, is the largest vertical online fashion brand in Southeast Asia. Founded by the guys behind Lazada Thailand and inspired by the growth of e-commerce and the fast fashion industry, Pomelo was established some 5 years ago to serve the appetite of the new generation of shoppers in the region. With weekly new arrivals, a customer experience some call legendary, and tech-enabled flagship stores in Singapore and Thailand where customers can book fitting rooms and collect their packages, Pomelo today serves over 50 countries and delivers worldwide. We continue our chat with co-founder Casey on how he views the techie fashion company as a fashion brand first or a tech startup.
Yep. Well, I mean, I think retail is certainly bigger, but that includes all the in-store staff. But I think it's an interesting question that you ask. Because I think internally there are these departments, but our view is that it is not one or the other. It is really both. That our competitive advantage, not sure if competitive advantage is the right word, but our MO really comes from the fact that we have both creative teams and technical teams, and the way that they're able to coordinate, the way that they're able to come up with solutions is really what will make us successful. And what I would say is that there is alignment across the entire company that this is true and that this is what will differentiate us and make us successful. So it's really hard for me to say one way or another because everything that we do. That we choose to do from a business model, without the technology to support these processes, it would be basically impossible to do what we do today.
So Pomelo today is headquartered in Bangkok and has grown to become the largest vertical online fashion brand in Southeast Asia. So Casey, maybe you can talk to us about that growth from 2014 to where Pomelo is right now. What did you guys have to do to expand from just Thailand to other countries and markets around the region?
Right. So first online expansion is actually to Singapore. So at that time, we had to kind of figure out how to get customer orders into Singapore and, develop and modify some of our systems in order to do so. And so that was actually quite early on in our company history when we did that. Very soon after that, because of a lot of our marketing efforts and community building efforts were on social media, potential customers from all over the world started, messaging us on Facebook and Instagram, saying, "Hey, do you ship to this country? Do you ship to that country?" And so, pretty shortly after we launched in Singapore, where we had already modified some of our systems to be multinational, multi-currency, it was relatively easy for us to then open it up to the rest of the world. Then I think at the end of 2015 is when we decided to open more services in Malaysia, Indonesia. Obviously, Indonesia is a big market. It's a priority market for many companies in Southeast Asia. So that was kind of the next in line for us to really focus on the Indo market. Since then, that's after that we started really doubling down on the idea of retail, and how we would come up with a solution to really combine the best of both worlds, like I said, and that's been the focus for the last couple of years now.
And now with your website, pomelofashion.com, and the Pomelo Android and iOS app, you serve over 50 countries around the world, including Malaysia. So just curious, Casey, what kind of factors do you consider when expanding into new markets? Do you look at the demographics, the purchasing trends, or are you just open to anyone who wants to be a Pomelo customer?
Yeah, I mean, I think from the beginning, we always had global aspirations, but Southeast Asia has been a focus for us because we feel like this area is where the economy is growing the fastest, the middle class is growing the fastest, and also kind of lacking a lot of options for fast fashion as well. Mm. So I would say for the next few years, our target of focus is still going to be in Southeast Asia. But looking forward beyond that, I think, we will see where there is a gap in the market, where there's interest for products like ours. And one good thing about having, and we call this the rest of the world kind of international shipping, our global shop. And having that global shop actually gives us pretty good data in terms of, where we're seeing an increase in interest, where we should potentially open up, physical retail stores, and that sort of thing. So, as a company, we do have a wealth of data from our online business that we can then analyze and have a better determination of our expansion strategy.
So speaking of your expansion strategy and the pace that Pomelo is expanding at, what kind of innovation is involved with your day-to-day processes and operations?
Yeah, I think it all comes back to this technology again. And I think, like I said, the technology team really supports every function inside the company. And so, I always tell every employee, if you're doing something every day, the same thing every day or every week, think about, is there a way to automate it? Is there a better solution? Perhaps we have to change the processes and, retrain a team of people on the new process. But, what we see is that that's really investing for the longer term. And I think some of the business decisions that we tend to make, we always start from the viewpoint of the customer first, right? What is the best customer experience? What is the customer need? What do they want? Maybe, even some things that they would want, but they never even considered before. And I think when we go down this line of brainstorming, what often comes out is a really great customer experience, but a really nightmarish operational process. So the way we kind of manage it, again, is through building technology solutions to automate things, to take less manual work out of people. And in that way, then you can really scale efficiently. Otherwise, I think, we are still a venture-backed company where we don't have infinite resources. So resource management is pretty key to what we do. And again, that is also supported by the systems and technology we're building.
What about the fulfillment process? Have there been any struggles with warehousing, delivery, fulfillment, now that you also offer worldwide delivery?
Compared to 5 years ago, it's, the ecosystem for e-commerce has improved very, very significantly. We don't really see an issue there anymore. We run our own warehouse fulfillment centers. Mm-hmm. We have all our systems around that. But in terms of, delivering to the customer or delivering the order to the store, not too much logistical issues anymore. I think as a business for us, though, it's really more around not how many days does it take to get to the customer, but, how do we rebalance our inventory for online and offline between all of our stores to really maximize what's available for the customer to buy? And I think as we get to more and more stores in the market that we're in, that solution becomes more and more pertinent as well.
I'm speaking with Casey Liang, co-founder of the largest vertical online fashion brand in Southeast Asia, Pomelo. More on surviving and thriving in the fast fashion industry after this. Open for Business will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Beating fickle mindsets. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Audrey Raj. Casey Liang, co-founder of omnichannel fashion brand Pomelo, is with me today. And we're talking about scaling the fashion brand across the region. What about returns? You know, that's always a sticky point for online retailers. How do you keep that experience painless for your customers and for yourselves, of course? I understand that you have the kiosk at your flagship store. Tell us more about your returns processes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good question. You know, let me point this out first. Let's say you take five items into a fitting room at a store, right? Maybe you keep two, maybe three, right? But I would imagine that, you know, half of the items that are taken into a fitting room are then not purchased.
Right.
And if you kind of compare that to the return rate for online, you know, typically, e-commerce companies are anywhere from, fashion e-commerce companies are anywhere from 20 to 30% returns. Now, what happened to the other 20%, right, versus an in-store purchase? These are probably the, returns that the customer are not returning because it's a hassle. Maybe it doesn't fit too well, but it's not unwearable.
Mm-hmm.
But we believe that this is actually a bad customer experience, right? We don't want customers to keep something that they don't feel is perfect. And that stems from the fact that, you know, I've purchased online before, you know, say a flash sale site, and there's no returns, and you're kind of just forced to keep the item in the closet, and every time you look at it, it's a reminder of why you shouldn't buy online.
Exactly.
And so actually, a high return rate could mean two different things. It could mean your products are not good, but it could also mean that you've made the return process and customer experience so good that, you know, customers are really keeping what they want.
Hmm.
Now, I think we've tried to make the online return process as simple as possible. So we have, you know, you can mail it in like any normal e-commerce company. In Thailand, you can drop it off at any 7-Eleven, and they have a service to bring it back to us. In Singapore, we have 150 drop-off points, and we're also exploring some things with SingPost in terms of lockers and stuff like that. So I think, you know, our thinking is really to improve, you know, where can we improve the customer experience? Because ultimately, we feel like, you know, short-term gains are not what we really want to do. In order to really build a successful brand for the long term, customer experience is key. And so we tried to offer as many return options as possible. And with our retail stores now, of course, you can just go and drop off your orders there. So as we expand our retail network, that will make our online purchasing and returns process even better.
Casey, a couple of years back, Pomelo raised Series B funding in a round led by market leaders like JD.com, Start Today Ventures, Central Group. It was the largest of its kind in Thailand in 2017, and the funding round was said to be essential to scaling Pomelo across Southeast Asia. Now, how much was that round of funding for, and what was it mainly used for?
Yeah, we raised about $19 million in that round.
Wow.
And it was mainly used for two things. One was kind of scaling our online marketing effort to drive the online business. But then shortly after we raised our Series B is when we started experimenting with retail. So, you know, we didn't sign like a 3 or 5 year contract for our first store.
Mm-hmm.
We did kind of a 6 month pop-up store. I mean, it, for all intents and purposes, felt and looked like a real retail location. But that's when we started experimenting with, you know, ordering online and picking up in the store. Initially, when we did that, we weren't able to have the customer pay at the store, so they had to prepay online. But very quickly, we, you know, through this testing period, we realized that the best customer experience was no risk up front, right? And so, you know, that's kind of where we started testing the concept of this new retail model. And when we kind of realized what was working and what was not working, you know, for the second iteration, the third iteration, we're continuously improving what we do. So a lot of the investment has gone into building out this retail network over the last 2 years.
And is Pomelo currently profitable 5 years down?
Not yet.
Close to breaking even?
Close.
Any expectations for when that might happen?
I think, you know, the obviously we want to be a profitable company in the long term. But I think for the time being, you know, we're still, because it's a trade-off between how fast you can grow and expand versus how profitable you want to be. So I would say that, you know, if we really, really wanted to be profitable today, we could probably make changes and do it in a pretty short order. But the opportunity that, you know, we see in the market, it doesn't, from a strategy standpoint, doesn't really make sense to kind of turn on the profitability machine right now. That, you know, I think we're really investing in the next 5 years of the business. So, I mean, that's why it's a little hard to answer that question. But I think it's important that, you know, we double down on what we find is working, and we continue to scale the company. And not only the markets that we're in, but also, you know, across Southeast Asia over the next few years and globally after that.
Good answer. Just before we go, what's on the cards for Pomelo in 2019 and 2020, Casey, in the near future?
Yeah, I think, you know, we, like I said, the way that we kind of operate is we kind of, you know, as a startup and as a company philosophy, we're always challenging the status quo. Sometimes we make step changes in terms of what we do, such as introducing Omnichannel. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, we've done enough testing and kind of playing around with different ideas that we're at a position now to really standardize everything that we want to do and start scaling more fully. And so that's where I would say we are. We have a lot of potential locations in both Thailand and Singapore that are already under discussion for opening next year. And we're talking to partners in other markets to see what we can do in other countries in Southeast Asia. So I think what you'll see is for the rest of this year in 2020, it's going to be a pretty rapid expansion of our omnichannel business. That, you know, and the way we kind of see it is that there are synergies between the two, right? The more retail footprint that we have, mm-hmm. The more customer awareness there is, the better our online marketing efforts get because of this retail presence. And the more online transactions we get, the more data that we have to kind of figure out what customers need and where to open retail locations. So there's you know, a really good feedback loop between the online side of the business as well as the retail business that works quite well together.
Right. So no promises yet on a Malaysian Pomelo physical store.
We are currently looking into it.
All right, Casey, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and for enduring all my painful questions. We wish we wish you and Pomelo all the best. And, you know, fingers crossed for a Malaysian flagship store soon.
Absolutely. We will one day do it. It's just a matter of time.
I've been speaking with Casey Liang, co-founder of omnichannel fashion brand Pomelo. Remember, if you miss any part of this show or part one of our chat on Pomelo's O2O services and legendary customer service, the podcast can be found on our website, bfm.my, also on the BFM app and Spotify, parked under the podcast section. Just search for Pomelo. My name is Audrey Raj. This is Open for Business. Up next, Jeff Sandhu and Tech Talk. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.